Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue in the Gospel of Matthew through this Pentecost season and keeping in mind the kingdom of heaven is near, proclaiming the presence, the reign, and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit, this sort of theme for the Gospel of Matthew as we go through Pentecost. Today, we meet the kingdom of heaven. We meet Jesus as he's preaching, as he's teaching the people, great crowds, large groups of people, and he tells a parable, the parable of the sower and the seed, familiar to many of us. The parable of the sower and the seed has been talked about since Jesus taught it. And it's one of the few parables that Jesus actually explains to his disciples. He doesn't explain them all, but this one he kind of goes through in great detail for his disciples. And so it's a wonderful thing that we don't have to come up with the meaning of stuff on our own, that Jesus kind of tells us, well, this is what this means, this is what this means, and then we don't have to make stuff up, which is a wonderful thing. Because when people are left to their own devices to make stuff up, boy, we come up with some great stuff. But here, the parable of the sower, Jesus starts to explain what happens when you have ears to hear. He says that at the end of his parable, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if you're paying attention, if the Spirit of God is at work, you're going to get something good out of this. You're going to hear what it is he's trying to explain. And as Jesus is telling this parable, as he does his kingdom parables, he's always offering a glimpse into the inner workings of God in the world, which, again, he doesn't normally do to explain how this works, but the parables, all of the kingdom parables, when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, is a glimpse into how God is at work in the world around us, in the people around us, in the ministry of Jesus, and we only have to have ears to hear, in other words, to understand, to grasp what it is he's talking about. Because, as we know, God is God, we are not. And so a lot of times his workings in the world don't make any sense to us, no matter how we try and figure it out. And here, Jesus offers us this glimpse, pulls back the curtain, so to speak, so we can see what's going on. So let's follow with Jesus, then, as he explains this parable, and kind of take a look at how this all works. And first of all, Jesus is sitting in the boat. He's teaching this parable, and the crowds are hearing it. And everybody's going to kind of hear it in their own way, right? As we hear lots of stories, sometimes they hit different, and sometimes they sound different, and sometimes we take different things away. So Jesus is using an agrarian, a rural, planting metaphor in this parable. And so he begins, "A sower went out to sow." Simple enough. That's what sowers do. He goes out to sow, and he sows some seeds. And the seeds, Jesus explains, are the word of the kingdom. In verse 19, he says, "Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom." So the sower is the one who is casting the words of the kingdom out to the world around. The one who is proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. The one who is sharing the word. And in this case, in an immediate sense, the sower is Jesus. He's the only one right now who's proclaiming the kingdom. That's his job. That's why he's here. That's what we talk about at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew. That's why he's here. So the sower in Jesus' parable is himself. And I know we're going to at least initially, we want to jump ahead of Jesus and say, well, wait a minute. Doesn't he mean anybody who's proclaiming? So that means all of us who are proclaiming? Well, yeah, but let's not get ahead of Jesus here. Let's not sort of preempt his explanation by saying, well, it's me. It's me who he's talking about, right? I'm the proclaimer. We're the proclaimers. It's us he's talking about. Well, yes, but the disciples aren't even doing that yet. So, again, let's kind of sit on that for a minute and let Jesus be Jesus and do what Jesus does. And so Jesus is the one who is sharing the words of the kingdom. And the first soil that it hits is hardened. It's a rocky path. It's a padded down path so that the seed has no place to go. And in the parable, the birds come and eat it up so that it can't take root. In this explanation, the devil is the one at work, stealing the seeds before they can take root. So who in Jesus' day, as he's explaining this parable, who are the ones with the hardened hearts? Who are the ones who are not able to receive his word? Who are the ones who the word bounces off? Every time he has a proclamation, it just bounces right off, and the evil one is hard at work. Who would that be? Yeah. We've got the Pharisees. We've got the Herodians. We've got even the Romans to some degree. But mainly, Jesus came for the lost sheep of Israel, the Pharisees. The Pharisees are those with the hardened hearts. The one that has the well-worn path of the rules and regulations that make it impossible for the Word of God through Christ to make an impact. It just bounces right off, and the evil one chuckles as he comes by and scoops up God's Word and says, "Nope, not in these. It's not going to work." So the Pharisees, any of those with hardened hearts, in Jesus' day. So then, he goes on to say, the one that was sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it with joy, but when persecution comes, they abandon. So once again, who is that in Jesus' day? Well, he had a lot of people who were there for the free food. He had a lot of people who, when he fed the 5,000, said, "Hey, I'm going to stick with Jesus. We get free food." Jesus even talks about that. Yeah, you're only along for the ride for the free bread. So we know that there were sort of the hangers-on to Jesus. Those who just kind of went along for the ride for the free stuff. But when the teaching got hard, when the teaching got difficult, when the persecution from the Pharisees got really, really hard, they said, "Well, wait a minute. We're not with that guy." But now, there's one disciple in particular who this may hit home for later. Who's the one who followed with Jesus with joy, proclaiming him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God? And when they asked him, "You're one of his disciples, aren't you?" Who said, "Not me"? Peter himself. Would we call Peter the rocky soil? No, but what does Peter mean? Petra in Greek, rock, stone. Might Jesus be talking about something that was coming up? Perhaps. See, and here's where if we jump to the present day, if we jump to interpreting this in our day and age, we miss this stuff. We miss that even Jesus' own disciples aren't always the good and fruitful soil that we want them to be. They're not always the ones who proclaim without fail that Peter himself, the rock, the rocky ground, the one who God's word flowers beautifully but then fades and withers when push comes to shove. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Jesus, in his ministry, encountered a lot of people who had earthly hang-ups, who had ties to earthly things and material things that they just couldn't get rid of. Jesus would proclaim the word of God to the rich young man who approached him and said, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Jesus told him to sell everything and follow him. And the guy said, "Well, wait. I don't know that I can do that." See, the word of God, as Jesus proclaimed it, the seeds that he was planting were able to get the guy in, and we know that because of the way he responded, that the word hit home. But the deceitfulness of riches was too much for him to bear. He couldn't handle it. And there were others too. That this the money and God stuff really didn't go hand in hand, and they struggled. But again, there was one in particular for whom the deceitfulness of riches proved far too much for his faith. And who was that? Judas. The deceitfulness of riches trapped him, even though once again the word of God was in him. He was with Jesus, with all of the other disciples, and then finally the deceitfulness of riches snapped it, broke it. Judas himself. Then lastly, the good soil. Oh, the good soil. We all want to be the good soil. It's the most mysterious, though, particularly in Jesus' day as he's talking about this, because we have the 12 disciples. We already see, at least with a couple of them, how they're not always the good soil. The good soil's the hardest to see, at least in terms of this parable. It's difficult to see where the word of God, as Jesus in his day preached and taught and shared and did all of these things with his people, where that seed actually sprouted and grew. It's hard to see that. So who in Jesus' day would prove to be the good soil? Who were those who, when they heard the word of God, ran or left or did something to tell everybody else? We could start with the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, when the shepherds hear the proclamation, they go to see Jesus, even as he's crying in the manger. Who would think that the word of God is sounded in a cry? Jesus was a baby once, you know. He cried. And as he cried, it was the word of God crying. Now, I'm not going to push that too far, because he was a baby. And yet, the word of God proclaimed from a crying baby can be a powerful thing. So the shepherds were good soil. Who else, when they heard the word of God, had to tell somebody else? John chapter 4, woman at the well. She hears what Jesus is saying to her, and she has to go and tell everybody else this about this guy who knew everything she did, and they all came out to see. Fruitful soil. There were others. The man who was possessed in Gennesaret, the man who had the demons that were so evil in him, the legion of demons, and when Jesus cast them out and they go into the pigs, and then the guy says, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to go with you. And he says, no, you have to go and tell everybody about God's great mercy. Fruitful soil? A demon-possessed guy who lived among the tombs is fruitful soil? Yeah. As he went about the Decapolis telling everybody what Jesus had done for him. The Samaritan leper who was healed came back to give praise to God through Christ for his healing. Fruitful soil. It's there, but it's hard to see sometimes in Jesus' ministry. And we could go on and say, well, eventually the disciples become fruitful soil as God works in them through all of the stuff that he puts them through, the tilling of that ground, so to speak, and they become fruitful soil as we're results of that. Paul, fruitful soil, but not always. Remember, Paul was a persecutor. Paul was a killer of Christians, and yet God proved him to be fruitful soil. So when we hear Jesus' parable, when we hear of the people involved in all of the different types of soil as Jesus is teaching this, we now can go, okay, how does this work with us? What part do we play? What soil are we? Well, I mean, I think we can all say we've all been all of the soils at some point in time, right? We've all been so hardened that sometimes God's word just doesn't hit. Just bounces right off. We've all been rocky soil where at times in life we're so celebratory for the gifts that God gave us, and then when somebody challenges that and we go, well, wait a minute. I mean, I'm a Christian, but I'm not one of those Christians. We've all been deceived by deceitfulness of riches and things of the world. Our minds have been taken in different directions with the call of glory and power and fame and fortune at some point, maybe not always. And then fruitful soil? Sure. We are fruitful soil. We are the place where God has planted the seed, faith, the Spirit, entrusted to us. Rocky, hardened, thorny, and yet, fruitful. God at work in each one of us. And even as we become sowers, even as we become the ones who share the word of God, know that, first of all, it's His word, not ours. It's His kingdom, not ours. It's Him working through us. It's no longer I who do it, but Christ who lives in me. It's always His word. It's His kingdom. And it's His soil. He can do with the soil things that we can't even possibly imagine. Which should bring some humility and comfort to us. As today, once again, we come to the rail for the enrichment of the soil that God has made us. For the strengthening of the roots of faith that God has planted. For the enlivening of the Spirit as it sprouts and grows and shares. It's an amazing gift. It's a wonderful thing. It is praiseworthy. It is the kingdom of heaven. Here and now, today. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard and keep our hearts always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.